I'm Trina Teeler and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for Anthony Gormley's One Another project. The date today is the 7th of October 2009 and the time is 10:15 p.m. Could you please give me your name, age and where you're from?
My name's Jonathan Duckworth. I'm 51 and I'm from Nailsworth in Gloucestershire.
And how are you today?
I'm fine. I'm worried about the rain and slightly nervous about being up on the plinth, but there's nothing I can do about that now. So I'm looking forward to it. I probably wasn't looking forward to it mid-afternoon, but I've got over that now. Bring it on.
Did you come from Gloucestershire today?
Yes, I came down this afternoon by train, and in fact I've been down and looked at the project before. I came, I was at a meeting a week past Monday, so I thought, well, I'll come and just soak up the atmosphere and see it live. I've seen it on the web before, so I knew what to expect from that perspective. I thought, well, I'll come down and have a look and calm my nerves, really, to see what everyone else is doing. But there was a man standing there staring out for an hour, so I thought, well, really, it doesn't really matter what I do. So that put me at rest, put my mind at rest. And I first heard about the project from, I'm a cyclist and on a cycling forum. One of the members of the forum took part, I think in the first or second week, and he was completely mad because he was a green dinosaur like Godzilla, and he'd made a silhouette of London out of cardboard, and he had a swing ball, so the sort of bizarre thing of a green dinosaur playing swing ball on top of a plinth in the middle of Trafalgar Square, and then turning angry and stomping all over this skyline of London was just extraordinary. So it sort of made me want to take part. I knew about the plinth, and I'd first seen artwork on it when Alison Lapper's statue was on, and I really, really was really impressed with that. So when I sort of half knew about the project, but when Gerald did this Godzilla thing, it was just extraordinary. So I thought, right, well, I'll just fill out the form online. I never win anything. I never win any draws, so it doesn't really matter. I'll fill it out. And then, of course, lo and behold, I got an email 3 weeks later saying, you're in the draw. You've won. So I had about 12 hours of wondering, oh, my goodness, what have I done? What should I do? And I thought, well, the first thing I'll do is I'll just log on again and see what someone is doing. And there was a man on the plinth turning every 30 seconds or so 90 degrees. And I thought, well, you know, this is art. This is what people see should happen on the plinth. It's their own ideas. So I thought, well, I would just combine two or three of my interests. And I'd take photographs, but with a bit of a difference, because I'd link it up to a website. So as I take the pictures, within a minute or so, they'll be up live on a website. And hopefully people that are there, if they've got smartphones or whatever, then they can log onto the website and see their pictures there and then. They don't have to go home. They can see it right there. So that was what my plan was, which then took a bit of preparation, getting the equipment to work, getting the code to work, and then worrying about it raining, which of course right now it is. But I think I've got over that. I've got a box to put the computer in. I've tested it. As long as it doesn't really pour, I'll be fine. So that's what my hour is going to be. I'm hoping there's going to be enough people there to photograph and interact with. But if not, then I shall take some nice nighttime shots of the square, and they'll be my record for the project. I'm also heavily into panoramas, so I've brought a tripod and my panoramic photographic head. So I shall set that up and take a 360-degree panorama of the square from the plinth. And as soon as I get back to my hotel, if I can bring myself to, I'll put it into, stitch it together into a panorama, and then put that up online as well, so people who haven't been up there on the plinth can see what it's like.
And you said you're going to put it on a website?
The website is called www.urart.org, and it's going, basically the pictures are taken out of the camera immediately and then are fed, resized, and then fed to a server that I've set up. And then there's gallery software which will, if you refresh the page, will see that there's a new photograph there and add the new photograph into the gallery.
So you created this website yourself?
Yes, yes.
Do you do
that? I do websites, not particularly technically brilliant ones. I tend to, and not particularly artistic either, so sort of practical websites. And I've done them for about 10 years or so. I tend try and move with the times, but struggle at times with changes in the way things are coded and so on. And it started actually with one of my cats has a website, alfiecat.co.uk. So there's photographs of him and video of him and so on. That was one of the early projects, which is still up. So.
Was it one of your cats? Did you
say? One of my cats, yes.
Why did you decide to have a website for your cats?
I can't really remember why, but it's great because it means there's photographs of him up there and the other cats and video of him going up a ladder and just, you know, I think it was probably more an experiment in making a website, but it was a good subject and it stayed up there ever since. So.
How many cats do you have?
We've actually got 2.5 because we've got 2 at the moment and 1 on its way next month, 4 weeks' time, so there's great excitement in the family. We've got the oldest one's called Alfie, who's a Burmese, very loud. And if he was in here in this room, you wouldn't be able to conduct the interview because he'd be yowling all the time. And then there's a younger one called Bee, who's tiny. Everyone thinks she's a kitten, but she's about 3. And my daughter has to search various people when they leave the house to make sure they haven't taken her, because everyone falls in love with her and says, we must, you know, we'll take her away. And there'll be a kitten, hopefully in a month's time. So, I've got 2 children, a son, William, who's currently 15, and a daughter, Rosie, who's currently 12. So they're probably not watching live tonight, or they may be, but they'll definitely watch some of the footage, and they'll obviously be checking the photographs, because I'll make a point, I think, of taking a photograph of myself on the plinth to go on the website too. They can. I'll see that initially they're just there as a gallery, so anybody who is in them can check into the website, and if they want, I can send them a full resolution copy, because these ones are shrunk down to fit on the page, and I'll just leave the website up for a while. Well, it doesn't really matter how long actually, but it'll certainly be up there for quite a long time. Yeah. I think it's because I do like taking photographs, and actually, ironically, I don't like being the center of attention myself. So, and I always laugh and say that's why I like taking photographs, because it means I'm on the right end of a camera. So I'd thought before actually I got the slot, so when I applied I thought, well, what would you do? Well, I thought, well, you could do something taking pictures of people. But I wanted to do it a little bit more involved in that, and actually it's not just me taking pictures, it's actually me taking pictures and then they can immediately see the results. And that was the thing I really wanted to do, was it's a sort of live, and actually it reflects the live nature of the event, that people can see, it's filmed, so people can see on the internet what's going on right now. So the idea was people can see what I've been doing within a minute or two, so effectively right now, on the gallery website. So I'm crossing my fingers and hoping it all works. It's been tested to oblivion. We've been out in the car and tested it with a wireless link, and it all works. But I'm such a believer in technology that I know that the chances are there's always a risk that it won't work properly. If it doesn't work, then all the pictures will be put up when I get back to the hotel later on. Well, tomorrow morning it'll be, after midnight.
And then why do you not like to be
I suppose I've always been quite self-conscious. It's actually a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde, because whilst I am self-conscious, on the other hand, when I get into something, like whether it's giving a presentation or even an interview or just a meeting, taking part in a meeting, actually I really enjoy it, but it's just that first step I find difficult to do, and always have done. I've got better with age, because as you get older you realize that it doesn't really matter what other people think. What's important is what you do and why you do it. And recently, on Monday actually, I wasn't the center of attention, but I had a lot of attention because I was down at the memorial site for Ladbroke Grove train crash, because I was involved in it, and I've been working with a group of survivors since then, campaigning for rail safety and supporting other survivors. So Monday was the 10th anniversary of the rail crash, and I was there Monday morning with the bereaved and other survivors, and so it was very moving. And it was really nice over the days leading up to that, knowing that I was then going to come here, so I was going to be back in London 2 days later for something entirely different. So that gave me a lot of comfort. I was going to a meeting in London. I went to London probably once every 2 weeks, not that often, and I had been late to the meeting before, so I caught the early train, and I was just passenger in the second coach of the train when it hit another train just outside Paddington. So it was quite a horrible incident. 31 people were killed and hundreds injured, including me, but not luckily I wasn't seriously injured. But it did change my life, because up until then I was managing shopping centres, and I had to stop work because of the effect of the crash on me mentally. I had post-traumatic stress disorder, and so subsequently I now work from home, and I suppose get a lot more involved in technology than I would have done otherwise, but have time to reflect on things and take photographs and spend more time with my children. So it changed my life, and Monday 2 days ago was the 10th anniversary of that. So it was quite a significant day.
How are you coping with it now?
Time does heal. You always have residue, you always have a bit inside you which is ready to come back and bite you if it gets tickled. So you another crash happens, or something like that happens, or you get something that reminds you, it comes back and gets you. But otherwise life's very different, but life carries on, and it's generally pretty good. So but very different. Because I don't work 40 hours a week, I don't have a career, so from that perspective I'm not a worker anymore in that way. I have my own business and I work from home, but I work on my terms. So I do, if I can't get my head around something, then I'll leave it until tomorrow, or if I'm really into something, I'll be up till 2 or 3 in the morning working on it. And then I've got a much better relationship with my family and with friends, I think, and I think actually I'm more open than I used to be. So having said, I don't like being in the limelight, and I find it difficult. Actually I'm much more open about me and about what my feelings than I would have been before, and part of that's the effect of the crash, and part of that's realization that if you don't do things today, you might not have a chance to do them, because you might not be here tomorrow. And actually that was one of the reasons I applied for this, is because hell, I'm alive and I can do things like this, so I will do.
Are you still in touch with the survivors?
Yes, we meet very occasionally, so I'm probably in touch with about 10 or 15 of them at most, in fact, now. But there's a common bond and experience that we all went through, that if you've been through something like that, you understand it. And so naturally you congregate together and you understand what you've been through, even though you're all different. So you're all sort of thrown together because of one incident, common experience. So we've got there's friendships, and I've met people I'd never met before, and there's friendships formed, and support as well. You can phone them up and chat to them if you need to. So it's a strong bond, a strong but infrequent bond, I suppose.
And besides photography, what are your other interests or passions?
Well, subsequent to the crash, I actually put on a lot of weight. I ate too much and drank too much, and that's a lot to do with the mental things. And I realized I was just getting wider and wider, although nobody said, you're fat, because I'm tall, so it didn't look like I was. And eventually I realized I'd put on a lot of weight, so I got a bicycle and started cycling. And I used to cycle when I was younger. I cycled when I was at university in Edinburgh, and I cycled in London. I used to cycle all over London when I lived here. And I got back on a bike and realized I'd been stupid. I'd been 25 years not cycling and actually really enjoyed it. So I started cycling a bit further and a bit longer, and then met online through the internet some other cyclists, and one of them arranged a ride through and along canal paths and through a tunnel in Birmingham, which I thought sounded really interesting. It's a 2.5 kilometer long tunnel. So I needed to get fitter for that. So I did some longer rides, and that's about 40 miles. And I met these people, virtual friends became real friends, and it's just sort of got on from there. And so now I the furthest I've cycled was actually this year, which was 150 miles in a day. It's a great activity, because it gets you out there and you can see the world and experience the world as you don't in a car, because you hear things and see things and smell things that you don't when you're driving, and it opens up the countryside as well. And once you've got over the fact that 10, 15, 20, 30, 50 miles is not very far, then you just set off and I plan a route on the computer. Put it into a GPS, and then just set off and go to a pub. And it gives you a great excuse to have cakes. You can eat as many cakes as you like, because you're burning all the energy off. And I've met a lot of people. And in fact, tonight, I think met some for a meal before the event. I don't think they can all stay to watch. But these are people they have nothing in common with them except they cycle. And yet they've come to meet me in central London and go out for a meal and wish me well before the event. So that's another passion now. So.
And what would you like to gain from the Plinth experience?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see it's the sort of interaction between me and the other people, and to try and get them to. It's obviously I don't do portrait photography, but to try and get them to present themselves in a way which is slightly more artistic than just here's two of us in Trafalgar Square, which I think that's going to be a challenge. And it's technically a challenge to actually make sure that the photographs do come out, and that they're all saved properly and they go up to the web server too. And it's only an hour, so there's not a lot of time for testing things and trying things out. So I'm just going to have to cross my fingers. And for me, actually, I suppose there's probably a 2 or 3% exhibitionist in me, so I think it's exercising that 2 or 3%. So, yeah. And I also really like the idea of using this plinth for something other than a plain, ordinary statue, a bog-standard statue like the other ones have. And I know that's what London has sort of built on, with lots of historic figures who are celebrated in this way. But it's an empty plinth. It's been empty for 100 and something years. And what a great idea to change what goes on it, and also, in this particular case, to it's just an astonishing idea to have members of the public going on the plinth. And when I first read about it, I sort of thought, and I didn't really think I'd go on it until Gerald the Godzilla dinosaur, until I saw him and then thought, yeah, come on, let's have a go. So. I think, well, kids growing up, and family, and certainly staying fit and keeping fit, and the cats. Yeah, that's positive important things. Negative important things are things like the roof letting in water and so on. But try not to dwell on those. So, so yeah, kids, cats, wife. Caroline, just it's a they're growing up so fast, these two kids, and they're just changing. I look back at photographs. I've got lots of photographs of them, as you imagine, and I look back at pictures of them from even 2 years ago, and they're different. And you forget what they're like. You forget how quickly they change. That's great passion at the moment.
Right. I have to stop it here, but thank you.
Okay.